and welcome back to this week's episode of the Dreamer's Manual podcast. I can't tell you how much it means to me that you're spending your time with us this week. And as always, we have a really special episode for you. Sarah is a repeat offender on our podcast. And if you know me and if you've listened before, you know I really value straight, honest, real talk. And that's what Sarah always brings to every conversation that she has. And as I think about you guys and what you might want to hear, I also think about what would be important for me to hear in my own business, because we're going to share those same questions, hopes, and dreams for our business and our life. So I asked Sarah to come on and talk about what it means to own a business during a recession. And she covers everything from what kind of mindset to have, how to shift your current mindset, to where you should invest in your business when times can be tough economically. She shares just an overall theme of comfort and strategy, because Sarah's been in this space for so many years. She's seen this happen time and time again. And to me, there's something really comforting about someone who's able to say, okay, I've been here before. I've seen this before. Here's what worked. Here's maybe what didn't. And here's how you can navigate whatever life throws at you. Now, if you haven't had the chance to connect with Sarah before, she is the founder of Sarah NoKid OBM. Her mission is simple: to empower online entrepreneurs and online service providers to build thriving, profitable businesses with the help of streamlined systems, marketing automation, and a winning team. She's a leading authority and educator, sharing valuable resources and programs that support and train online service professionals with actionable tools to leverage their skills and translate their talents into profitable and meaningful businesses. To date, Sarah has trained thousands of aspiring online business managers and provided them with a proven framework to transition into the online service industry confidently, effectively, and successfully. Now, currently, Sarah does that through her program over at the OBM School. And for those of you who don't know, I am one of the mentors in that program. So it's just been an absolute pleasure to connect with those students over there. And Sarah's going to talk more about this, but she has a free event that I love for online service providers called the Confident OBM Week. It's running after Thanksgiving in the US, so November 29th, 30th, and December 1st. And if you're interested, you want to learn more, you can go to sarahnoked.com/dreamers. And that will take you to the page to register. Again, it's a completely free event. It's so much fun. It's held quarterly. So if you are listening to this after the end of November 2022, you could still go and sign up for this event. And then the next time it's offered, you'll get a notification. But there are literally so many people that join and come back and kind of get that just tweak of a mindset, you know, quarter after quarter. So I hope if it sounds interesting to you, I'll see you there. And for now, on to the podcast. Sarah, welcome back to the Dreamer's Manual podcast.
Thanks for having me, Julie. You know, I do love to be here.
I'm so excited you're here. And I'm extra excited about today's conversation because we were talking a little bit beforehand, but you know, we love to have real honest conversations around here. So I think taking into consideration everything that's happening in the world and, you know, that people have predicted that are coming up, I think looking at that, having a conversation through the lens of business and what we do in this online space is going to be so helpful for so many people.
Absolutely.
Now, let's stop and pause for just a second, because there might be people tuning in that haven't got to connect and meet you before. So can we do a little introduction, who you are, what you do in this online business world?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Sarah NoKid, and I am the founder of OBM School. And we offer programs to individuals and business owners who are looking to learn more about the world of online business management, whether you're looking to become an OBM or you're looking to hire an OBM. OBM School provides means to really understand what that means and how to really use and leverage virtual support to support your business, as well as, like you and I, Julie, to make ends meet.
And I have to say, I have been so, so lucky to be one of the mentors in OBM School for, gosh, I think it might be coming up on 2 years now.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
Time flies when you're for having fun. We have a little celebration.
Yes. I really
we've been so fortunate to have you as a mentor in our community. Like, you bring such a wealth of information, and it's just such an honor.
I have to say, the people that are in your group, it is just my favorite place on the internet. There is not a more interesting, smart, capable, motivated group of people on the internet.
Well, OBMs are just badass. They can do so many things. And I'm so grateful because the women in our community come from such varied backgrounds and varied sort of specialties, whether they are, you know, picking up from their 9 to 5 or corporate and they're ready to leave and sort of transfer some of those skills over, or they're just like, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I'm ready to start this business. Give it to me. We just have such a colorful community of really badass women. And I'm so grateful that you're in there with me as well.
Well, when that hive mind gets going, there's just nothing better.
Unstoppable. This morning I was listening to that Sia song, Unstoppable. And yes, it's like going on and on and on in my head all day. I'm unstoppable.
She has so many good, I think probably so three of her good songs.
Those are like my running songs.
Yes. I think we have the same workout playlist, it sounds like, because I think her songs are the best to work out to.
The best. The best.
All right. Well, we're here today to talk a little bit about, and we alluded to this already, but in the world at large, and definitely in the United States, I think we're heading for, if not uncertain times, then, you know, there's all this talk of recession and what that really means. So I think digging into that, because if you just hear that word and you start to get anxiety, but you don't know what steps to take, if you don't know how to protect yourself, I think that can cause more of that unstable feeling. Whereas if you know what's coming, you have a plan, you know what to expect from people that have been through this before in some way, then I think it can feel very manageable. So that's really what we wanted to bring to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to just talk about, you know, what does recession mean for us as online service support providers, whether you have a business already or you're thinking of becoming an OBM.
So Sarah, talking about OBM school, I would be remiss in not mentioning an event that's coming up that is hands down one of my favorite events that I love to still attend quarterly. But I hear so much feedback from people about how much they get from this, because it's a free event, but the value that you give is really like a 3-day masterclass / OBM party.
Party. / party.
Yes. So can you tell us
I've often
what that
thought
is?
About charging for this OBM week. So we're running it this year, November 29th, November 30th, and the 1st. So it's a 3-day, we call it OBM week, but it's 3 days, because I think 3 days is more than enough to really focus on business development. And this is going to be especially great for you if you are just getting started as an OBM. But as Julie mentioned, we have repeat offenders come and join us almost quarterly. We run this about 3 times a year. So when we do, it's really, really special. And if you guys head on over to sarahnoked.com/dreamer, then you can sign up for that as well.
Sarah, it's really so valuable. Can you tell us some of the things that you cover during OBM week?
Oh yeah, we cover a lot of things. First of all, during OBM week, I always say, like, I'm an open book. I really want to, you know, men like really emphasize the fact that you guys can come on there and ask me any questions that you have. But really what we dive into is the tech. We dive into your tech stack and what it means to manage your client's tech. We get into the pricing and we get into the clients. So we're really talking a lot about the core pieces that have to do with building a really successful foundation for an OBM business. And it just gets better every time because we refine it, we get feedback, we have great giveaways. I won't say what they are today, but we've got amazing giveaways happening this round, and it's just going to be so much fun.
And I love the timing of it in particular, because I feel like that end of November, beginning of December, is there's a lull in between the holidays, and you can really pour into your business and start making a plan for then the rest of December, because that sets you up to really blast off then when the new year comes.
Such words of wisdom, because it's the truth. It really is. And I think the energy and the because, you know, I'll be honest, if you are listening to this today and you are thinking about starting a business in the online space, and this is, I mean, this event is specifically for OBMs, but really does apply to any kind of service-based support provider. And of course, you're welcome to come regardless of, you know, what you currently do or what you're planning to do. But it's just like you said, Julie, it's such an opportunity to spend some time investing in your 2023 plan, where you're going next year, and really do it alongside other people who actually are from our online industry. Because, you know, when you ask your family and friends, they're not going to know what we do. They're not going to understand, or they're not going to give you probably the best advice, just putting that out there. So you definitely want to surround yourself by like-minded, talented, wonderful human beings. And that is what we have inside OBM School and in our community, in our Confident OBM community, and definitely part of OBM Week.
I can't wait. I think I've said this to you before, but I am 5 years in and I'm pretty sure my husband still thinks I build websites, even though he knows that's not what I do, but he'll refer like other construction guys to me to be like, he needs a website. I'm like, that's great.
That's great. Kudos to him. Good luck with that.
So let's talk about your business in terms of what might be happening in the world at any given time. One thing I love that you share so much is having these multiple streams of income. And that philosophy not only applies to you and your business, but it's also how we can look at and view our clients' businesses and how we can help and support our clients. So can you share a little bit more about why you teach that and why it's important?
Yeah, I think it really is so important because, as we all know, the R word is alive and well. Everyone's kind of buzzing and talking about recession and what it means for us. And what does it mean for us as online business managers and service support providers? Well, to me, and in my research and in my understanding of the world, it means really continuing to forge ahead. When I was doing my master's in business administration, one of the things that we talked about was naturally, you know, economic upturns and downturns and all these things. And one of the points that always stood in my mind, and one of the things I've kind of latched onto amidst all the confusion and the financials and, you know, what it really means, what I have come to understand is the companies that are able to continue pushing through and continue marketing and advertising and continue to think positively about the outcome and about the future and, you know, put their clients first. Those are the companies that make it out alive and that continue to dominate. I cannot give you any examples because I did not come prepared for this, but if you Google this, you will see examples of companies that have overcome very dark financial and economic times and have come out on top. And time after time, research shows that it is the companies that continue to sort of forge ahead as if, dare I say, nothing has happened. Mm-hmm. And I have kept that same mentality. Yes, you know, things are a little bit harder and maybe our clients are experiencing a decrease in sales. Although I will say that that is mostly related to Facebook ads and the fact that algorithms and security measures are changing and it is having a huge impact on the world of online course creators. Actually, in the last week, Gmail rolled out a new spam filter algorithm that has royally screwed a lot of us who market courses, and especially for those who are planning to do upcoming, you know, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all that stuff. It's like Google or Gmail rolled this out just in time to really kind of give it to those people who are planning to, and they're expecting that people will be experiencing 50% less sales and open rates just because of what Google is up to. So thank you, Google, very much for that. But I think really when it comes to recessions and when it comes to the multiple streams of revenue coming in, what Julie and I had discussed before this, and I think it's so important to mention, is that, you know, as service support providers, you know, you can have different sorts of setups. You can have some retainer clients, you can have some one-off project clients, you can have some affiliate commissions coming in from some programs that you recommend, especially as OBMs. You know, we are experts. So if there's, you know, a particular course that you were, or that you really are into, like, oh yeah, it's cool. Or perhaps you like want to promote a tool you use, like ActiveCampaign. You know, in my own business, I promote ActiveCampaign and I promote Entreport. I promote the programs that I have used with clients and that I know and love. And it's just a little bit of additional revenue that comes in. But there's also lots of other things you can do. You can have a little course that you sell on the side. You can offer coaching and consulting as service-based support providers. You know, we will naturally evolve into, you know, new and improved entrepreneur, dare I say. But the important thing to remember is that you always need to have an open mind. And I always try to challenge myself to think outside the box. Like if I feel stuck, oh, it's an economic downturn. Oh, times are tough. You know, and I think we really, you know, we get kind of caught up in all of the fear mongering that's happening around this. And it makes us crazy. We're sure. Already a little crazy to begin with. So really remembering that you are the one in power and you are a creative entrepreneur. That's what you are.
Absolutely. And I think that if you just tell yourself these stories over and over, then you do set that expectation, because you can look in Google, look on TikTok, look on YouTube, wherever you're at in the online space, there are examples of entrepreneurs and smaller businesses that are really just smashing it. And so from the perspective of that person needs an OBM, yes, but also from the perspective of there's ways and strategies that will work in business now. And if you look at those just from a place of curiosity, a lot of times you can generate those ideas for your own business and pivot and try different things. You know, somebody was saying on a podcast the other day that the, you know, having a suite of smaller offers not only helps serve your audience, you're giving them something, but it's not necessarily, you know, a $10,000 or $20,000 coaching program. It's like these little bite-sized pieces that people still feel like they can indulge in. And also, I've read that people in times of recession love these little luxuries. So anything that you can do that people can consume, that's just that like dopamine that makes them feel better, that's a fix in their business that, you know, just provides that little bit of joy. Those types of mindsets and thinking, what would my audience benefit from? You know, all those things can really just shift how you're thinking about what's coming, and you can be prepared. And it might not affect your business at all. And if it does, you could, you know, use some of these ideas to strengthen that foundation.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it brings to mind one of the important things that is must be expressed here, and that is done for you services will never go away. It will never get old. It will always be highly in demand. So regardless of what is happening economically, if you have a skill that you can, you know, graduate onto the online space and leverage, you are always in a good position. You are always, so, you know, a lot of us online, myself included, you know, we sell courses and, you know, I do a number of different things online. And, you know, when push comes to shove, I know that done for you services reign. Okay. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on, what's happening. I know that as an online business manager, I can always pull that card. I can always offer services to somebody done for you. And even if economic times are bad, people are always willing to invest in done for you services because they can't do them themselves. And sometimes these are the things that make the business run, whether you are setting up an automation for somebody or hiring or you know, implementing that thing, that is what is going to move the needle in that person's business. And they are going to always pay for that. And that's why you don't see these jobs go away. In fact, with the, you know, the VA, the OBM world is literally exploding. And, you know, never mind the recession, but we saw this a lot during COVID and in the aftermath, if dare I say aftermath of, you know, people just graduating their businesses into the online space and having to really adapt. And then lots of people like you and I, Julie, that are like, oh my God, I want to work from home in my pajamas, take care of my kids, you know, give my kids that stay-at-home mom experience, you know, whatever that looks like. I want to be able to give that. So it's just really a very booming place in the online space amidst all of this sort of talks of, you know, economics and, you know, recession and all of the kind of scary things that we hear that we don't completely understand, to be honest. But, you know, we know that times are changing, but I know in the past that through this change comes good and comes a lot of success from a lot of those businesses who can basically provide services during these quote unquote downtimes for a lot of other businesses, but also those businesses that are pushing the envelope, that are reinventing the wheel, that are literally creating the most profoundly new technology that's going to come out of this. Like that's what's going to really push ahead. And that is always what we see out of the midst, you know, out of this darkness will come something else.
Absolutely.
When it does, I'm sure they will need OBMs.
Right. And one thing I really love about the umbrella of OBM, I think it's so interesting because you see a couple different kinds of personality types over and over. And there are these very like linear thinkers, but you know, they just like see everything and put it in order. But I think there's also a place for a neurodivergent type because there's an endless amount of things you can specialize in. And if you're bored with one type of business, you can look at another type of business. You know, it's just like, it constantly feeds that. If you're a lifelong learner, then something like a career as an OBM is such a gift because there's endless amounts of stuff to learn. I've started out my OBM client career within a brick and mortar space, like locally. I think sometimes we forget because we work online that there are local people with businesses, salons, restaurants, retail stores that really need our eyes and our help to organize their systems. And yeah, some of the platforms might be different, right? But ultimately, the theories are the same. And so recently, I've had a lot of fun dabbling back in that because getting to reconnect with people after a lot of the lockdowns and things that were happening has just been such a joy pouring back into the community. So I feel like every year, even though I have the same business, it feels new and different because I can explore different avenues or do a different done for you service, you know, from setting up Dubsados to setting up ClickUps to helping set up launches. Like I can, you know, I don't have to be all over the place, but I can pick a service and really pour into that. But it doesn't have to be the thing I do for the next 20 years.
Amen, Julie. Thank you for bringing that up because I think the light in me sees the light in you on this level. Cause I too, you know, I love the feeling of, you know, having a dynamic business that can evolve. Like even, you know, I think our businesses are always in a constant state of flux, whether we accept it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think the more accepting and the more you realize that your business floats in tandem with your own personal growth journey. Cause as entrepreneurs, like it's a personal growth journey to be an entrepreneur, your business takes you on that journey. So being open and accepting to, you know, stepping into bigger shoes, quote unquote, or, you know, pushing the limit. Like I find I'm always pushing myself in my business and I'm always taking risks that always pay off in the form of like, I did that. You know, I'm proud mm-hmm. of myself that I did that, whether it be starting a podcast or starting a business or, you know, doing different things, you know, working in with retail companies that maybe you kind of, you know, discounted or thought, well, you know, those people don't know anything about what it's like to work online or how to leverage remote workers. But in reality, especially post-COVID, they damn well do. Mm-hmm. Not only do they, but they also recognize that financially, it is more financially feasible to hire a contractor like an online business manager, as opposed to hiring an employee. So I think that's another thing that in times of financial strain and in recession times, you know, hiring a contractor might be a better solution or is likely a better solution than hiring an employee. You know, because as contractors, we pay our own, you know, expenses and taxes, and they don't have to cover that as they would with an employee. And if things do go belly up, then it's much easier to get to let go of a contractor than it is to let go of an employee.
That's such a valuable point. And I think people cannot discount. I have definitely seen this trend. I'm here in Alaska, for those of you that don't know, and there are brick and mortar retail businesses that I have seen in the last 6 months transition into hiring online business managers for their business. And because they want to expand online, they want somebody with that mind for organization, for hiring team, and they want to implement some new strategies and leverage those remote workers. So really big business, if you're transitioning, especially from corporate, you might already have this experience and chops and you could do exactly what you want in virtual work and still work for these companies that will really value your experience and pay well for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even in times like these, I mean, that hasn't really changed. I mean, yes, financially, you know, I go to the grocery store and things are much more expensive and gasoline is much more expensive, but my business feels the same. You know, mm-hmm. It feels really more or less the same. I mean, yes, you know, maybe we're not, you know, advertising costs are a little bit more expensive, but that's just related to Facebook, like yes. And Mark Zuckerberg, you know, it's not really necessarily related to what's happening at the world at large.
So when you talk about having a marketing budget that you're still contributing to, and, you know, you also have this mindset of investing in yourself because no matter what, even if that budget is smaller, like you said, if you completely contract during a time of fear and your reactions are based out of fear, then it can be really challenging, I would think, to continue to run and grow a business because, like you said, it is an exercise in not only self-development, but you're facing a lot of fears every day, every week, whether it's the little things like getting on a Facebook Live for the first time, which can be absolutely terrifying, especially for a girl like me who grew up without social media. Thank goodness.
Myself included. I know. Kids these days.
Oh my goodness. To, you know, some of the bigger stuff. So when you think about those investments for the next year, what advice would you give to people in their business?
You know, I think it's the same advice that we hear when, you know, when the stock market sort of had its little downturn a few months ago, and I was like, oh my God, my stocks are down. And then, you know, your sort of gut jerk reaction is to like pull all your money out of the stock market. And obviously, like, if you know anything about the stock market, that is like the last thing to do. And I think that is just such an analogy for the world at large now. I don't think that you should really change anything you're doing. So, you know, maybe your budget is a wee bit smaller, but it's still divided up in the same way that it would be like, for example, as an OBM, you know, you hopefully will have a little bit of budget to spend on maybe hiring a company to get you on a podcast. Maybe you have a little bit of money to spend on a new program that's going to help you up-level a skill. Maybe you have a little bit of money to invest in something like marketing in the form of, just trying to think of ideas here, like what kinds of things can we market as OBMs and what can we sort of spread our budget into? And I think it really does have to do with, I mean, Facebook ads has never really worked for me, so I wouldn't really recommend that as opposed to budget. But oh, the big thing, conferences. Mm-hmm. That is my number one way as an OBM to get clients. And it doesn't, so maybe instead of flying to San Diego, you know, you go to two smaller local conferences. So when it comes to marketing budget, it is really just comes down to, you know, how creative of a person are you and how can you creatively stretch a budget, which as an OBM, might I add that this is something that we are required to do with clients. Our clients always have small marketing budgets. They never, you know, we're not working with, you know, big old corporations that have big old $1 million budgets. We're working with, you know, entrepreneurs that, you know, we're lucky if we're dealing with a 10K a month budget to spend on ads. Usually it's not like that. Usually it's like less than 5K. And, you know, so we have to really get creative and encourage the client to show up, like you were saying, do lives on social media, you know, get creative, you know, maybe learn like I mean, we're never too old to learn a new trick. I just, you know, took a Reels course, mm-hmm. you know, on how to make better Reels and how to really leverage that. So, I mean, we are lifetime learners and creative people. And I think that that has to really distill down into our marketing strategies as well as OBMs. It doesn't have to break the bank. It doesn't have to be creative. And you know what the truth is, Julie, is that most of the leads are right under your nose. And we see this all the time inside of OBM school. You know, I will have conversations with students from the program. I'll be like, so have you purchased any courses in the last few years? Do any of those have communities that you can hang out in? You know, are you connected to any influencers or anybody who runs programs to the kind of people that you would want to provide services in? Oh, okay. So Susie's got a business coach that has some, you know, people in her program, and a few of those people might be ready for an OBM. Why don't you offer Susie to go into her community and do like a quick training on what it means to hire an OBM, or what it looks like to work with an OBM, or, you know, maybe you can jam with Susie on really great topics, because, you know, creators and people in this industry are always looking for new ideas and bringing in experts into their community. And as OBMs, we are experts, whether you want to believe it or not, you are. If you are listening here, you are like shaking your head. No, Sarah, what are you talking about? No, actually you are. You are an expert. You just have to lead with that instead of leading with the things that you're not good at, which is what we always do. And so as part of OBM week, and if you guys are just tuning in now, go to saranoquette.com/dreamer, sign up for our OBM week. It starts on November 29th. And it's so funny because we talk a lot about transferable skills. And what I always realize with our OBMs, and bless them, because I don't know where this comes from, but, you know, they'll say to me things like, oh, I'm a great project manager, or I love organizing things, and, you know, systems are my jam. So instead of doing all of that as OBMs, they go and they start with launch management, or they go and they start with like team. They're like, I'm going to be an expert in team growth. And I'm like, but you just finished telling me about X, Y, and Z. Why don't you make that your expertise and, you know, offer the other things as needed, you know, because it's sort of part of the package, but, you know, not leading with that. So it's so interesting to me that we always kind of take our shortcomings and, you know, challenge ourselves to get better with those things.
I think it's hard sometimes for people to believe that their natural skills, talents, and abilities could benefit so many people. And it feels too easy. And sometimes if we think, oh, it feels too easy, I must not be doing it right, or this can't really be that valuable. But what your unique skill set is and what your talents are not what other people's talents are. And in reality, most of the business owners I connect with are very creative, very brilliant, but also a little bit scattered. But if you can implement a framework for them that works, then it is like absolute magic can happen, because they just need that little bit of scaffolding and that little bit of handholding to contain it, and then they can blast off. And that might just be my ideal client, but I think across the board, there is this need. So if you get into doing whatever business you're in and you think this can't be right, like this is feeling like people are paying me for this, then we urge you to think like, no, maybe you are doing it exactly right.
Your skills.
Yes.
Lean into those skills. It's okay to be good at something. It's okay to lead with what you're good at. Yes, people will pay you to manage and organize their projects. So, you know, I hear this all the time also, you know, so, and I mean, I'm a culprit in this as well. So I can't say that it's, you know, not me as well, but all the time as an OBM, I used to love brainstorming with my clients, and I would be like a sounding board, and I would be like, you know, playing consultant at the time, even though I fully was, you know, helping them get clarity and, you know, maybe being really strategic about our planning sessions and such. And I never charged for those. Like I used to literally like deduct that time off because I was like, but I had so much fun doing it. You know, they don't need to pay me for that stuff. But, you know, years later, I look back at that. And I'm like, those were the most valuable nuggets of love I was giving those clients, you know, and they were eating it up and I wasn't even charging them for it. Like what on earth was I thinking? And so when I see that in, you know, women who come into our Confident OBM community or step into our programs, like it just makes me happy that I can help that person realize that, you know, they have to lead with what comes naturally and what works for them. And it's unique to everybody, but just don't downplay your talents. It's okay to be good at things.
And I think it touches on how important it is to have a mentor in this space if you can, whether that's through a paid program, which is really the path that I have gone down over and over again. But I could think of literally right now so many examples of conversations that we've had either in a group setting or one-on-one over the years where I was in this pattern or these like thoughts of thinking, and you could say one thing and just snap me out of it. Like it was probably 4 years ago now, honestly. But at the time, the group of entrepreneurs I was hanging around in the online space were talking about like, we're retiring our husbands. They're going to be home. And so
I want to do that.
I put so much pressure on myself and so much guilt and stress. Like, this is my plan. This is what I need to do. And you were like, would your husband even want to do that? It was such a simple question.
How good on your marriage would it be to have him all the time?
And I was like, not only would he not want to, we would drive each other absolutely bananas. It would be a horror. But it's just an example of sometimes showing up for somebody, listening and being a sounding board, but how one thing that somebody says can completely change the trajectory, because all that energy and turmoil that I was spending on that thought, it was like instantly freed up and I could refocus back on what my mission was. And it, you know, what it was like a goal that I had just sort of scooped up and picked up along the way and sort of adopted as mine, but wasn't coming from inside of who I was. So having those mentors and those people that you can bounce ideas off of is incredibly valuable.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I will say this because I say this every day, but it's hard to see the label from inside the bottle.
Yes.
Know? And it also takes one to know one. And that's it for my, you know, my puns for the day and all the things. But, you know, I really do think that it goes back to that whole conversation we were having around skills. You know, we always feel like we need a challenge, you know? Mm-hmm. And yes, there are a lot of challenges in business and entrepreneurship, but you don't need to like manufacture them yourself. You know, they will come, mm-hmm. you know, there are times when, you know, I have to work because I've made, you know, I've said that I would do something and I have to like not be with my kids at a time when, you know, I want to be with them, or, you know, maybe I have to go on that camping trip a day late and I feel really guilty about it, but damn, am I going to enjoy that night alone by myself? I don't know. I just think that we really are so lucky to be living in a time where you can start an online business. And, you know, I think Julie, you and I are both really introverted people that, you know, would rather kind of be at home and get energized from being alone. And I think that this is such a great, I mean, we do have our extroverted OBMs, but I think that regardless of what kind of personality you identify with, or if it's a little bit of A and a little bit of B, like just know that this is a safe place for us to grow from. And this industry is only going to get bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's exploded since COVID and the pandemic and all the things, but it just continues to really be so interesting. And so much evolution has come out of all of that. So yeah, I mean, you know, financially, think, you know, there are companies that are struggling and adapting and evolving, and, you know, and the online space is really a great place to be right now.
I totally agree. Now, as we're leaving people in this conversation, I'm wondering if you would speak to people who maybe are having a tougher time in their business, either they're in the middle of a transition or things have just been slower, or just their mindset has been really impacted by all the things that are going on in the world right now. And, you know, will probably continue to go on, you know, for the foreseeable future. What would you tell somebody if they called you up and said, you know, I just need to get through this, but I need some advice or some words of wisdom?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one of the first things that came to mind as you were saying that was, you know, who is in your support structure? You know, because I think that, and I'm speaking for my own personality and my own self here, but I think sometimes we can really bury ourselves amidst, dare I say, a pity party, mm-hmm. you know, having that pity party. And I think it's really important to surround yourself by people who are in the same, you know, industry, doing the same thing as you, you know, your colleagues that, and people who you really trust, and your friends who can be there for you. And at the end of the day, remember that, you know, we are so much more than just the business and the paycheck and the revenue. Mm-hmm. And then also really remembering and reminding ourselves that you can always add on another service. You know, it's like we had talked at the beginning of this conversation about how like done for you services. And although right now I really spend a lot of my time, you know, in the course creation development world, and, you know, we are rolling out our internship inside of the OBM school and, you know, still supporting clients and as an OBM in that way. But, you know, there are so many different things that you can do. You are never stuck. So sometimes it really is about seeing from outside the box and looking outside the box to find a unique thing that you can add on. Maybe you are being called to evolve in some kind of way. Maybe there is a new training that you can do to add on a new skill. So a lot of the times we will see, you know, I didn't see this as much in the OBM side of things, but I remember in the pandemic, all of the VAs that I know were like, I'm losing my job. I just got fired. You know, my client is closing down their business and terrible, awful things that were happening to a lot of that industry of sort of the implementation done for you sort of space, because, you know, my clients pulled the plug on marketing and advertising, which is always what happens during, you know, economic downturn, but is never the thing that you should do. And then from the other side, we see OBMs that are, you know, having a lot of work because suddenly businesses are having to evolve their systems and hire a new team and require people to, you know, man automations and all of that stuff. So, you know, there's always the people who are succeeding. So I would be looking to those people and I would be thinking to myself, if I am experiencing, you know, a financial strain, I would be looking at my business model, you know, and I would be looking at where I can cut my expenses and maybe get creative with my marketing, like we had suggested before. There are a lot of creative options that you can leverage, especially with marketing and advertising, whether that be like, I don't know if you know Laura Sprinkle.
Mm-hmm, I do.
So we had a session with her just talking about like JV opportunities and stuff like that. And you're just getting creative with the things that we can do in our businesses, but and always remembering, you know, there are ups and downs in business, you know. So I was thinking about this myself today, but, you know, I think sometimes we get caught in like monthly revenue or like the monthly, you know, hitting 10K or hitting 15K a month.
And people really do.
The year as a whole, you know, and yeah, maybe you have some good months and some bad months. And, you know, maybe there's another service that you can offer, like a VIP, like if you're an OBM or a VA, like a VIP day session or that sort of thing. Like there's always, you can always get creative with the services that you offer. And if you are more of a brick and mortar and you're selling, you know, physical goods, which I know can be a little bit harder these days, you know, then you have the whole online space and, you know, online stores. And we see this a lot with so many businesses that went from having in-person events to virtual events to in-person stores to online stores and how that has really moved the needle in their business. So, and I think about this too, like, you know, when there is a need for evolution, like it is sometimes painful, but in the end, you know, you just have to stay positive and remind yourself of why you are doing what you are doing. So, you know, I think we have a really similar why in that, you know, we want to support ourselves and our families and our children and have that freedom and flexibility, but we also really look to supporting the world at large of women and men who and our friends who are stepping into maybe these, although I don't think that they aren't so crazy ways of working, but, you know, the OBM and the VA was so, you know, foreign for so many people. It's it's not like that anymore, but really just helping and, you know, lifting and elevating and really emphasizing that leadership piece. So I just think that, you know, there's always something good that comes out of these times that feel bad. We just have to really stay positive and be creative and find community that can support us and, you know, surround yourself by positive people, not, you know, negative Nancys and all that stuff.
Well, and having these conversations and being really, really realistic about what it feels like, being around people who have been through more than one sort of tumultuous period, especially in business or in the online space, whatever it might be. So you know that it doesn't always have to feel so tumultuous, but that there is sort of a cycle to it.
And there is a cycle to it. It's so true.
Yeah. And I would say, if I could just add, like, you can't pour from an empty cup. So if you could schedule in rest, because you'll be all the things that you talked about, if you can schedule in some rest and then come at those things with a fresh mind, like, you can't be exhausted, like emotionally worn out day one and sit down and like come up with all these creative ideas. But if you give yourself a little permission and know that you are going to come back to it in a more rested way, it's amazing then how your mind and your community can show up to support you. So don't be afraid to build in those pockets of rest, especially as things are transitioning or you're up-leveling, you're doing and learning new things. Like, all that takes a lot of brain power and steam. So don't just also you know, beat yourself down emotionally because you're not able to do all this all at once. Just give yourself a little bit of grace during a period like this.
It was beautifully said, Julie.
Mm.
But yeah, you do have to give yourself grace and you do have to really have that rest. I think that's something that I often forget because I will often push myself. And I'm not a great napper. So it's hard for me to take that downtime during the day. And, you know, I work a lot at night times naturally because of my time zone difference. So I'm always really jacked up on adrenaline at nighttime. And it's really hard to kind of wind it down at the end of the night. So it's so true. I find that the times when I'm beating myself up the most and maybe like backed into a corner, it's usually when I'm tired and when I haven't really prioritized my own self-care because I'm, you know, caring for everybody else and then like beating myself up about how the business can be doing better. I've worked with entrepreneurs in every kind of level of success from just getting started to making multi seven, eight figure businesses. And it doesn't matter what level of you are in, that exists. And it just becomes a thing that you have to really manage and be aware of and prioritize as your own mental health. And I think that I've got my theories, but I think that part of this, you know, recession talk and this economic downturn and all of the, you know, newsflash, we're in a recession, newsflash. Like, I think that a lot of that is really good advertising. And it's like a good advertising angle that the news media outlets leverage to get viewers and to freak people out so they get addicted to watching. And in reality, you know, we've seen recessions happen. They've come and they've gone. I mean, the last one in 2007, I hadn't started my online business yet, but, you know, I had just started it a few years later, but I know a lot of people who started their businesses in the economic downturn and, you know, it just is what it is. So their good will come out of the bad and we will all move on like we have in the past. And, you know, just being able to do that with grace and having put yourself first and having, you know, really not sort of sacrifice maybe some of your values or the things that you want because, you know, financially, maybe you don't have the big budget that you had before or any budget, right? Mm-hmm. There's always things that we can feel. I feel like as OBMs, we're like so thrifty when it comes to marketing, you know,
yes.
We're like, oh, money. Who needs money to market? You know, you're going to do 800 reels. You're going to go live and you're going to JV with this partner. Like there's so many things to do that don't have to do with advertising and Google ads and Facebook ads. So, or having some fancy website with all the bells and whistles. As an OBM, you need a really simple website. One you can build yourself and you should build yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, unexpectedly, at least in my mind, I didn't plan this, but I think it leads into two things that relate to this topic. One is within the OBM school, we created a visibility workshop. And so if you want to talk about doing something on a budget and learning how to market yourself in a service-based business, but especially OBM, project manager, DOO, we have four modules in there that talk about not only how to create your foundation, but if you're going to choose social media, networking, and that's in person or virtual, or podcast pitching, then you can invest in that course and then have all those strategies at your fingertips and pick those and not only execute them for yourself, but also potentially set up a system and execute them in your clients' businesses.
Yes. And that beautiful workshop that Julie had so wonderfully done for our community of OBMs is available at obmschool.com/visibility-workshop.
And then I wanted to reiterate, if you don't already have a community and if you're a service-based provider, you don't have to be an OBM, but you could be curious about being an OBM. If you find events like yours that are for now free events that are so much more, there are definitely events out there that are still sort of glorified infomercials. This is not one of those events. And you'll see because literally, like you said, every time you offer it, there are people that show up just to get that little tune up. But if you're a little bit stuck on the why of your business, on the tech of your business, on any of those things that you shared about, come learn with other people. And the OBM community is smart. So if you have a question about a system, if you have a question about, you know, how to do something or, you know, marketing or anything, that community is there to support you. So I definitely encourage you to show up to that event.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fabulous.
And to join the free Facebook community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Confident OBM community. I think we are 11,000 strong in there. So, you know, I remember when I started that, like I started that, I think it was 2016, because I wanted friends who were confident OBMs, and community has blown up. But I think it really speaks proportionately to what the industry is like and just continues to grow and create opportunity for us who, you know, have to be resourceful working from home and who don't, you know, I don't want to go into a corporate 9-to-5 ever again. I have avoided it for the last decade. I hope I never have to go back to something like that again so that I can be home with my babies.
Yes. Well, Sarah, once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on the podcast again. Anytime. I love it. It's an incredible podcast and I'm happy to be here with you and to be spending this time with you, Julie, because you are such a wealth and such a wonderful human being.
I just love that we share so many of the same values. And I know that people listening to this podcast are naturally attracted to that. And so I just think it's such a perfect partnership. And the wealth of information that you provide is just is endless. And I'm so, so grateful that you took the time to be here.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks, everybody.
I'm sure we'll see you on the podcast again.
And I hope we see you at OBM Week.
Yes. Come join us. Hang out.